Ringers.
People of Britain, this is your Prime Minister. Yes, I know, I can't quite believe it either. This morning, after weeks of talks, I finally reached an agreement with the DUP that is in the best interests of everyone in the United Kingdom who enjoys marching through a Catholic housing estate in Enniskillen wearing an orange sash. And to those people who say that I've forgotten the nurses, the firefighters and the police, I say I most certainly haven't. I have given them years of gainful employment when the Catholics kick off and we get the Troubles, Mark II. Remember that this agreement ensures that vital infrastructure projects nationwide can now go ahead, including HS2, which will now run from London to Birmingham via Belfast. The building of a second Heathrow runway at Belfast City Airport. And London's Crossrail, which will be expanded to run through Belfast. I understand that many in my party blame me for calling a disastrous early election. Well, I'm afraid you can't turn the clock back. What's that, Arlene? Oh, it turns out that you can turn the clock back, and it's now 1953. And homosexuality won't be invented for another 20 years.
The voicemail of Nicola Sturgeon. I can't take your call right now, as I'm currently delaying a referendum that nobody really wanted, that I announced as a result of another referendum that nobody really wanted.
Hello, Nicola, it's Michael Gove here. I just wanted to give you a quick call about this deal Theresa has struck with the DUP. Look, I am the last person to stir things up. And far be it for me to get in the middle of two political leaders, but she gave Arlene like £1 billion, and that's like so much money, and I'd be quite annoyed about that if I was you, because Theresa said there wasn't a magic money tree, but actually there is, because I've seen it, and Theresa and Arlene were sitting in it playing truth or dare, and when Theresa got truth, she said next time there's a budget, all Scotland's going to get is some book tokens and a VHS copy of Take the High Road, because if you get real money, you'll just blow it all on heroin and chips, and anyway, so good to touch base with you, and let's totally get our nails done together, okay, soon, hun, go V. Bye.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Politics. With me, a Brillo pad stapled to a bulldog. While Theresa May attended an armed forces memorial, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn chose to spend his weekend at Glastonbury, wallowing in filth and drinking mint tea with trust fund hippies. He joins us now. Jeremy, how do you respond to these concerns?
Look, this was a one-off. I have spent my whole career visiting real people in real constituencies. For example, on the 19th of August, I'll be travelling to the Tory stronghold of Chelmsford in Essex.
When V Festival is on.
Is it really?
What else is in this schedule of yours?
Well, July the 14th, I'm going to be discussing farming subsidies at Henham Park near Southwold.
Where the Latitude Festival is.
You're kidding me. Well, as I'm in the area, I might as well pop some acid and watch Goldfrapp. I'll also be visiting real people in our constituencies of Reading and Leeds, as well as the Isle of Wight. And wherever the hell Creamfields is.
Mr. Corbyn, it's obvious what you're doing here. All of these constituencies are festival sites.
Yes, of course they bloody are. Why else do you think I stood for leader? To be Prime Minister? Of course not, you fool. I did it so I could hang out with Katy Perry whilst 100,000 people chant my name on the pyramid stage. I did it for the fame, I did it for the selfies, I did it for the free falafel wraps and unlimited hippie crack.
What about running the Labour Party?
Owen Smith can have the bloody Labour Party. Someone called Tom Watson. We're off to Coachella. Lady Gaga is headlining.
Hello, this is Theresa May. I can't come to the phone right now because I'm down the garden centre looking for a magic money tree. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hello, PM.
It's David Davis, your Brexit bulldog and master negotiator. Still wowing Johnny Foreigner with my masterly negotiating skills. So earlier, the bulldog took a stroll into the old town. Found a little restaurant. Lovely grub. Foreign, but not in a deportation van kind of way. So, the bill arrives. €40. Don't think Manuel the waiter was used to dealing with a Brexit bulldog. I'll pay €5, I said. And he keeps going on about the menu and the prices and how he'll lose his job. You know me. I stood firm. Anyway, long story short, I'm currently hiding in a bush from three angry chefs with meat cleavers and I've lost both my thumbs. Send help pronto. Brexit bulldog out.
And now, after the success of Ed Miliband and Ian Duncan Smith standing in for Jeremy Vine, here's another ex-party leader on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show.
More BBC Radio 1.
Yeah, you know, morning gang, Tony here. Nick Grimshaw confidence, Chris Moyles likeability. On this morning's show, we're offering you the chance to win an all-expenses trip to Las Vegas to watch Ed Sheeran live at Caesar's Palace. Although, obviously, once you've taken off my appearance fees, my commission, my broker's cut, and then add the interest, it'll be a one-way megabus to Bognor to sprint through a keyhole as Chas and Dave perform at Big Gary's Arcade and Massage Parlour.
BBC Radio 4. Coming up later, Fee Glover presents a new series in which people try to stop their friends from telling them crucial plot twists from popular TV shows. That's the La 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 Not Listening Project this evening at 9. Now it's time for Moneybox Live with Paul Lewis.
Hello. Today we're taking your calls on the topic of unexpected windfalls. How should you manage them and where should you invest them? Our first caller is Arlene from Belfast. Now, I understand the windfall you've just received is quite large.
I describe it as massive. Obscenely massive.
I see. And was it out of the blue?
No. I had a feeling I might get something. But sweet baby Jesus, not this much.
OK, well, first of all, I'd advise you to use your £20,000 tax-free ISA allowance and, if you have a pension, your £40,000 annual pension allowance. So if you did both of those things, roughly how much would you have left?
£999,940,000.
That's still quite a lot, isn't it? Have you considered doing any of those big jobs that we don't normally get round to, like switching to renewable energy?
How dare you? I have never had any involvement with any such flawed and corrupt schemes. And what's more, none of my friends have ever made a shedload of cash from them either. I'm appalled that you should suggest that.
I didn't suggest that.
Right you are.
OK, we'll have to move on now. Next, we have Elizabeth from central London. What's your situation?
I just got a pay rise. One's in the money, one's in the money. One got a lot more moolah from the sovereign grant.
Newsbeat. This is Newsbeat with me, Tina Dehealy. Coming up on today's show, tensions escalate in the Middle East and we meet a man with an avocado that looks like Ellie Goulding. But first, controversy has tainted the build-up to Wimbledon as John McEnroe suggests reigning champ Serena Williams wouldn't get in the men's top 700. Leading male tennis players have leapt to her defence.
I'm really furious about what... I was raised to believe women are not only as good as men, but often better, more powerful, stronger, and far more terrifying.
Who are you talking to, Andy?
Sorry, Mother. Got to go.
And finally, missing Glasgow already? Well, good news. James Corden's got one of the stars on his next edition of Carpool Karaoke. Here's a clip.
Oh, man, I'm absolutely buzzing about this one. Oh, man, he's such a ledge. There he is now. All right, Jeremy, mate.
Hello, James. I'm really right bang up for this.
Hop on, you little bearded nutcase. So what have you got for me today, Jezza?
Well, I thought we could listen to this cassette of the greatest hits of Eric Hobsbawm. Then I was going to read this letter from Barbara in Woking, who's had her disability allowance taken away.
Oh, Jeremy Corbyn! Jeremy Corbyn! You're crazy!
This is Theresa May. Please leave a message.
Brexit bulldog here, Prime Minister. Phew, this negotiating is trickier than I thought. Who'd have thought talks would have lasted longer than a day? Should have packed a spare pair of pants. Now, remember, Prime Minister, how I was being chased through the old town by some angry chefs? Well, the wily old Brexit bulldog only lost them in the maze of alleyways by ducking into an old curiosity shop. Now, the shop's run by this old gypsy crone who told me she'd hide me if I crossed her palm with silver. You can imagine what the master negotiator said to that. Well, it was just then, out of the corner of my eye, I spotted this gorgeous monkey's paw. Got to be worth 100 smackers, that, on the Antiques Roadshow. I told her I'd give her €5 for it and not a penny more. Well, Mystic Meg starts jabbering on about it not being for sale and something about a curse and powers beyond my control and the monkey's paw destroying all who touch it. Sounds like what the Ramonas used to say about Brexit, eh? Who needs experts? I chuckled. I'm having that monkey's paw. No ifs or buts, you snaggletooth gypsy. Anyway, long story short, I'm on the run again. I'm bleeding from my eyes and I think I'm growing a tail. Brexit bulldog out.
Now on Ex-Party Leaders Do Radio, standing in for Paul Gambaccini on Pick of the Pops, it's the turn of the ex-leader of the Green Party.
Hello. My name is... I've got it written down here somewhere. Oh no, my pen has bled through my 100% recycled notepaper and all I can see is the N and the B. Oh, I'll never know who I was. Come on, Natalie, you can... Oh, there we are. I've remembered my name. This is turning into a good day. Okay, here goes. Oh, no, someone's left a bacon sarnie near the buttons. Courage, Nat. Be strong. Use your biro to ease it to one side and... Okay, here we go. Here's the Muppets with It's Not Easy Being Green.
You're watching Fox News. It's like the regular news took a load of meth and screamed its opinions into a dumpster.
Welcome to Justice with Janine Pirro, presented by me, a hate crime in a pencil skirt. Your headlines tonight, the Muslims are coming, the Mexicans are coming, and the Mexican Muslims are coming. But first for our top story, we go over to our UK correspondent, Chuck. What's the situation?
Everything's wet, fish and chips taste like sawdust, and all the mayors are Muslims. Can I come home now, please?
Don't be such a prissy liberal cuck. Tell us about the news.
Oh, yeah. Queen Teresa's given $1 billion to the Irish.
What? What's a leprechaun gonna do with $1 billion? They've all got pots of gold already.
It's worse than you think. I've already seen Irish President Ed Sheeran on a giant stage waving a gay flag.
Would you shut up, Chuck? I'm joined on the line now by someone British. Who the hell are you?
My name is Theresa May, and I'm the...
I didn't ask for your life story, you feminazi. Just tell me what the hell's going on.
Well, I've spent 2 weeks trying to form a relationship with Arlene Foster, the leader of the...
What are you, a lesbian? Is that what this is, lesbian stuff? You want to spend all the Queen's money on gay marriage and tool belts?
No, she's against gay marriage. And as a result, so am I.
Go on.
Arlene wants to spend the money on closing down abortion clinics.
I'm listening.
And teaching creationism in school.
Oh, Mama, now we're talking. Tell me more.
We're going to take evolution off the national curriculum.
Say it slower.
The dinosaurs aren't real.
Yabba dabba doo. For someone who hates gay so much, I've got a sudden urge to take you out for dinner and a musical.
Yeah.
John MacDonald speaking, seeking vengeance for the proletariat since 1951.
John, why do you always answer the phone like that?
It needs repeating, Jeremy. Or do you think we should just trample all over the carcasses of the workers?
John, listen. This is why I'm calling. Since Glastonbury, I am fun Jeremy now. Do you think you could possibly ease off on the language a bit? All this calling people murderers, calling for riots, it just makes us look a bit crackers.
But I am crackers, Jeremy. I'm insane, and I should be honest about that.
John, listen. I went on the One Show and made a joke. And blammo, I'm now almost as popular with the voters as Theresa May. You need to work a bit of charm too. Look, I've organised some nice, fluffy media appearances for you.
What exactly do you want me to do?
Just go on, laugh, wink at people. Talk about how you love normal things like, I don't know, kettle chips.
But kettle chips are the satanic nuggets of the bourgeoisie. The oppressor of the honest crisp.
John, I know that, but we will only be able to implement our policies on snacks if we get into power.
You're right. I'll do it.
Just keep it light.
You've changed.
BBC Radio 4. Coming up later, we've endless numbers of trails for Hilary Mantel's wreath lectures. Followed by more trails for Hilary Mantel's wreath lectures. But first, it's the archers. The Grundys and Helen are down the bull to escape all the trails for Hilary Mantel's wreath lectures.
I'm so scared, Clary.
Oh, you're just getting yourself in a state, Helen.
What's going on?
Oh, Eddie, Ellen's worried you-know-who might return to Ambridge for more mayhem.
There is no way Rob Titchener is coming back.
No, no, Eddie. We're talking about Sean O'Connor, the Archers producer who went to EastEnders. He's just been sent packing from the square.
And if he does come back next time, it won't just be me having a ludicrously overblown melodramatic storyline.
Oh, no. If he comes back, he'll want to continue with that storyline he started with me. It'll turn out I wasn't really overweight by eating Tony Archer's organic sausages. I was pregnant. And the father is either Brian Aldridge, Robert Snell, or Otto the prize-winning bull.
Oh, I say. Anyway, thanks for the port and lemon. I'll be off.
Excuse me, who are you?
The name's Dot. The moment that producer, with his reputation for axing characters, arrived in Albert Square, I had to hide out somewhere. Well, where better than Ambridge?
What, so you've been here over 6 months?
Oh, yes, that's right.
And you haven't had a single storyline?
Well, I did buy a prawn salad at the Grey Gables, but it didn't really go anywhere.
It's tedium like that we need to preserve at all costs.
Don't worry, everyone. I've just had a news flash on my iPhone. The producer said he's had enough of soaps. He's moving on to ruin movies instead.
Oh, thank goodness. What's that, Joe?
I said
you're down for a Fatal Attraction-style storyline with Lillian and Justin that climaxes with a ferret in a saucepan? Oh, he's back!
Oh, bugger. My waters have broke.
Oh, God. Spicer.
Sean, it's Donald. I need your help. It's an urgent matter, big matter. The bigliest. I have the bigliest matters. I was just watching television, and they're saying Theresa May has struck a deal with some dinosaurs.
Yes, sir. Essentially, what that means is that DUP's policies...
John, I want to work with dinosaurs, too. Straightforward. I need you to go to Jurassic Park, round up all the dinosaurs and bring them back here in cages, Sean. They're very dangerous, very bad hombre.
But, sir, that's not what they mean by...
Quick thought, just off the top of my head. What if we made a T-Rex Secretary of Defense? Very scary.
Oh, sir. I really need to go back to sleep now.
Quick question. Fox News.
What about him, sir?
Why do they never do any stories about foxes? It's very weird indeed. I think it's fake Fox News. Call somebody, tell them I want to see some foxes on the show.
Is there anything else, sir?
Just one thing. I think there's a monster in my bedroom.
We all do, Mr. President.
This is the 10 o'clock news with me, Hugh Edwards, making uncomfortable silences sexy since 2017. We go live to Laura Koonsberg outside 10 Downing Street. Laura.
Oh, hey, baby.
Laura, are you drunk?
No, but I can't lie to you, hon. I am buzzing on this sweet political pandemonium. Can you feel it, Hugh?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, God. I haven't come down for weeks now, Hugh, and it is fantastic.
Laura.
Don't interrupt a BBC political editor with diplomatic hysteria surging through her veins. Strap in, Hugh, and come along for the ride, baby.
This is highly irregular.
You know I planted that number in her head.
What number?
£1 billion. Bribe Teresa. No, Teresa. What could possibly go wrong, Teresa? While you're at it, why not give him a unicorn that poops Lucky Charms, Teresa? And just when everything was going so well for Corbyn, I told him, sack the front bench, Jeremy. Sack them.
Laura, I think you need a holiday.
Holiday? While Sturgeon's limping weepily along Hadrian's Wall, while Corbyn's strutting around like a Marxist Peter Andre, while Hammond's fighting Johnson, and Johnson's fighting Davis, and they're all fighting Gove.
Laura.
We want a soft Brexit. No, a hard Brexit. Softer, harder, softer, harder. Yes, yes, yes.
That was Laura Koonsberg there. I'll have what she's having. Good night.
And now, in the ex-party leader's new radio season, David Cameron.
This is 6:06 on BBC Five Live.
Look, I'm delighted to be on 6:06 on Five Live, taking your calls about my favourite team, West Aston Hamplington United. And I'm in it for the long run. Taking your calls on the hot sporting topics of the day, like who's the wicketkeeper for Chelsea? And will Serena Williams finally win the Gold Cup for the Harlem Globetrotters? I'm here for the next 6 weeks. Our first caller is Mike on line one.
You screwed up our country, you moomin faced posh boy.
Right, that's it. I'm off to the Algarve.
You've reached the voicemail of Leanne Wood, leader of Plaid Cymru. Remember when that woman told Nigel Farage he ought to be ashamed of himself? That was me, that was.
Hello, Leanne, it's Michael Gove here. I just wanted to give you a quick call about this deal with the DUP. Now, the last thing I want to do is stir up trouble, but it did occur to me that Teresa gave Arlene like £1 billion, and that's like so much money, and if I was you, I'd be well gel. So I said to Teresa that some of that money should have gone to you through the Barnett formula, and she said the only Barnett formula Leanne needs is one to sort out her gross hair because she looks like a dinner lady with ideas above her station. And I was like, OMG, that is so harsh. And she was like, I don't care. And then she said the next time there's a budget, she's going to give all of the money to some actual whales because that'd be less of a waste of money, even though they're animals with no concept of money. But at least they won't spend it all on leaks and Tom Jones albums. And anyway, it's been so great catching up like this. It really has. Let's go shopping together, just you and me, really soon. Okay, babes, go be bye.
Good evening and welcome to The One Show with me, Matt Baker, the good-natured Labrador you love a little bit more than your husband.
And me, Alex Jones, always sounding a bit surprised to see you. Hello there.
Coming up, we've got the hairy bikers making candy floss with some girl guides in Morecambe. But joining us on the sofa tonight, we've got celebrity chef Nigella Lawson to talk about her new book on desserts.
How do you do, you naughty little hamsters?
Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell to reveal the man behind the politics.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Funtime Johnny.
Nigella's here. Do you like to cook too, John?
How can I cook when millions of people are starving? Quite honestly, I think global hunger is a stain on our collective humanity and we should all be ashamed.
Do you have a favourite food, John?
Get it together, John. Fun time, Johnny. Fun time, Johnny. I think anyone who eats food is a collaborator and a murderer. I saw a little girl eating a Kit Kat this morning and I did the right thing and slapped it out of her hand with my little red book. No, no, keep it light, John. Do it for the workers!
John, maybe I can tempt you with this scrummy banoffee pie. It's lavished in cream.
Well, I'm just being honest here, but I think you, Nigella, are a banana killer and a toffee genocidalist, and you should be strung up for your gluttony.
Oh, what have you done, John? It was going okay. Oh, you were going to do your funny impressions of Stalin, and now it's all gone wrong.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Luckily for these situations, we've got an absolutely foolproof standby VT to cut to. So here's Giles Brandreth singing Jerusalem in a Union Jack bikini. Giles.
And now in the BBC's series of ex-party leaders on the radio, it's the Asian Network with Paul Nuttall.
Oh, yeah. Very, very funny.
You've reached Theresa May. Please leave a message.
Prime Minister, Brexit bulldog here. Decided it was time for a strategic retreat, what with the whole me being cursed by an old crone and the monkey paw and bleeding from the eyes and my tail. Met this swarthy chap who said he could get me back to Blighty pronto. That Brexit bulldog only travels first class, I said, and I'm only prepared to pay €5 for the journey. They don't call me the master negotiator for nothing. Anyway, long story short, I'm currently hanging on to the undercarriage of the Eurostar. And if you could send a car to Calais to pick me up, that would be smashing. There's no Wi-Fi. My bloody tail keeps sparking on the tracks. Oh, ow, oh, Brexit bulldog out.
Dave Ringus was performed by John Culshaw, Lewis MacLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Harth, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Buck, Laura Major, Max Davis and Jack Bernhardt. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Studios production.
Comedy.